Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Snacks for the Brain from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach. I'm Scott Merrick. I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee. That's the originating physical geographic location of Snacks for the Brain. This is our initial podcast, and actually it's kind of a podcast that I've put together in order to demonstrate to my colleagues how valuable this medium might be to further the sort of efforts we've put forth over the past, so, 4 or 5 years to connect working research scientists and physicists, doctors, astronomers, with K-12 classrooms, not only in Tennessee, but also all over the country. I'll be your host on Snacks for the Brain. And I'm hoping that you'll subscribe to our podcast and pick it up whenever we make it available. First thing today, let's say hello, Adam Curry. I've been listening to you ever since I heard about podcasts. I love your podcast. I love your obsession with the medium. And Don and Drew, hi. PK and Jay, who else?
Richard Bowes.
You know, there's just a multitude of podcasts out there. This one, hopefully, will fill a very specific niche. And the niche we're looking for is people is in education,
video conference,
teachers in kindergarten to 12th grade classrooms who have a vision for how having actual contact with a working scientist can inspire his or her students in this selection to clear up some sort of misconceptions about what science is. You know, I heard him listen to what he has to say.
Just last week, that Bill Gates had said that, you know, America is creating so few scientists that we have to look elsewhere for them.
We hope that will help to inspire teachers to inspire their kids being an explorer and a discoverer, maybe an inventor, maybe someone who's, you know, seeking out the boundaries of any kind of science, be it medical or astronomical or anything in between or past, is exciting. And, you know, here we go. Okay, first thing in this show is that I would like to give you a few audio clips taken from video streams. And these video streams are from interactive video conferences. I'll use the term IVC quite a bit. It's one of my passions. I've helped to enable and facilitate a lot of communication using this medium, and gotta say, you know, if you've never really seen one of these, you might not really understand why it is so valuable. So I'm gonna drive you, when you first get to your computer to please check out our website at www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO and click on the video archives. Use the QuickTime option when you go to view these things. Here's the first example. One middle schooler asking a pointed question at the end of a presentation by an expert on antibiotics.
Why can't antibiotics kill viruses?
Well, because viruses are a very different type of organism. And generally, viruses are primarily DNA or RNA, and the viral mechanisms for synthesis of these nucleic acids are not affected by antibiotics like they are in pathogenic microbes. It's just a different pathway in synthesizing these compounds, these nucleic acids.
So, yeah, here's another one. This is a high school student asking a question of an expert and, in fact, a survivor of breast cancer. Now, in this one, you'll probably hear some, in fact, you will hear some of the sometimes distracting elements of IVC. You'll hear the voice echoing back because the classroom on the other end hasn't muted their microphone. It's funny how quickly the brain accommodates. You know, the brain wants to make sense of things. So as you continue to listen, it'll most likely be less and less intrusive. And the important thing is the information and the interchange in the conversation. So check this out.
Go ahead. Just say it.
My name is Quanita. I'm from Cross Middle School, and I was just wondering about breast cancer. Do it runs in your family?
Well, that depends. If you have a mother, a sister,
a daughter or an aunt who has breast cancer, then it does probably run in your family.
Okay.
Thank you. Is anybody else? Do you have one? What is it? I'll ask it. What is it?
Warrensville got a question.
Go ahead, Warrensville. Cross, will you mute your microphone while you're off the air?
What age do they have to worry about after they start their period? What age would they have to worry about breast cancer after they start their period?
Well, normally breast cancer is found in women over 60. But as I said, I knew a woman who was 24 years old. So I think by the time you're sexually active, when you go in to see the gynecologist to get birth control, then that's when you probably need to start, ask the doctor to show you how to do an exam, have the doctor do one. So whenever you start seeing a gynecologist is when you need to start worrying about taking care of your breast. Okay?
Warrensville has a question. Let's go to
Warrensville, and everybody else, please mute your mic while the school is asking their question.
My final example today is from an interactive video conference presented by Dr. Rick Chappell, who is director of Vanderbilt Dyer Observatory. He wears several hats for Vanderbilt, but this is the one that I like the most. Dr. Chappell was presenting in this selection to a group of adults, which is sort of unusual for the program, at Challenger Space Center in Indiana. This is what he has to say.
What do you think it takes? Here's your loaded question. What's the biggest challenge out of all of the propulsion, human body, spacecraft design? What do you think is the biggest challenge we're facing right now?
The will of the United States of America to do it.
Uh-huh.
We as a nation these days, because we don't have a John Kennedy articulating exactly how all this fits and staying on it, I mean talking about it, moving around the country talking about it, because that doesn't exist, most Americans are missing the boat on exploration on it. And I hope we get back into that, and certainly the things that all of you are doing are in exactly the right direction of exposing kids and their parents to the excitement of exploration and the significance of exploration to America's future. It's not one of these things you do if you've got some money left over at the end of the day. It's something you do because you know it's what you have to do to stimulate country's creativity and to draw out the very best students we have to go into areas that are going to be significant for America. That's the biggest one. We can do the technology part of it. I mean, goodness, John Kennedy said on May the 25th, 1961, about 1 month after Alan Shepard's flight, which didn't even go into orbit, just went up through the top of the atmosphere and fell back in the Atlantic. He said, we're going to go to the moon in 9 years, and we did. And the Saturn V rocket was just a dream in somebody's head. We did all of that in 9 years. Now look, compare today and the technology, the rocketry and the spacecraft technology that we have today, compare it to what we had on May 25th, 1961. It's unbelievable now compared to that. And we certainly can send humans to Mars. It's not a problem. It's a grand challenge, and it's a wonderful thing for the country for us to do. But to get everybody to understand that, the single biggest challenge. And I hope that America rises to the occasion.
That wasn't the answer I was expecting, but that was a good one. You could be the next Kennedy to get the message out.
Well, I hope there will be some Kennedys downstream. And you know, what President Bush suggested is a very good plan. It's a good approach. It's a good focus for NASA. There are a lot of good things about it. And it has to have follow-through, and it has to be done in an environment that says, we know that exploration is challenging and expensive and risky. We're going to lose people when we do this. We can't go into it mission. We can't go into exploration with the idea that, well, we've got a little money for it, but, and I want you to guarantee me success. Because exploration is not, there's never a guarantee when you're exploring. Columbus crossed the mid-Atlantic, the equatorial Atlantic four times in hurricane season and never got hit by a hurricane. And that's luck because nobody knew they were there. Exploration always has risk. It always involves good luck and bad luck. And you always do the best you can. And the things you learn, the reason to do exploration, is because of what you learn when you do it. Not necessarily where you get to.
Interesting, very interesting. Well, as my dear old daddy used to say, that's all she wrote. I hope you'll join us again for
Snacks for the Brain
from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach. And please visit our website, www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO. So have a good day or night. See you online. Bye, y'all.